Right, there we go. The time is now 7:15 on Radio Veritas, and a very good morning to you if you've just joined us. You've just jumped into your car, you're on your way to work, or you're on your way from Mass, I don't know, but welcome to Radio Veritas, and a very good morning to Nadine Pillay. Good morning, Nadine.
Good morning, Father Emil.
How are you this morning, under the circumstances? Are you well?
I'm well, thank you, Father.
Okay, my goodness. I don't suppose many people are all that bright today in South Africa.
Yeah, I think everyone's a bit worried.
Absolutely.
About the cabinet reshuffle.
I can imagine.
Last night, and a bit stressed out.
Absolutely. Today. Uppermost on their mind. I wonder how many ministers in Parliament are going to resign now. I wonder if that's going to happen. Anyway, we're not here to talk about cabinet and so on. We want to talk about something else, which I think is very, very important. You'd like to speak about a mental health awareness, and particularly bipolar disorder. My goodness, I'm very happy you want to talk about this today.
Yes, Father. Yesterday was World Bipolar Disorder Day, a day to bring awareness to this mental health issue.
Mm.
And I thought that, yes, you know, we need to educate ourselves, and we need to become more aware of mental health issues, and especially disorders, so that we, you know, it's almost like we prepare ourselves, because it is a very real issue.
Mm. What is bipolar disorder?
Well, bipolar disorder is a mood disorder. So it's a mental health disorder that affects your moods, and it takes you between two extremes, which means a state of what we call mania, or it's almost extreme happiness,
right.
Euphoria, almost high energy levels, and then it moves towards another mood state of depression.
Right.
So it's almost between a high and a low. And if one can try to put themselves in the shoes of someone who's experiencing this, you can almost feel the confusion, you can almost feel, you know, the distress of at one point being extremely happy and at one point being extremely sad.
Well, now I know several people like that, actually, and I was wondering, do they realize that they are bipolar?
Sometimes, you know, not all people are realizing that they are actually suffering from a mental health disorder, and so that is why it's so important that we know the warning signs, and you know the symptoms. And then we do something about it, because I think the one thing I'd like to stress is that people with bipolar disorder can live normal, healthy lives because there is treatment, there is a way forward, and with the right treatment and with the right support, one can live a normal and happy life.
Well, you know, we all go through these, well, not mood swings as such, but I mean, there are times in our lives when we are happy and other times when we are sad. But the disorder here is that these mood swings are fairly close to each other. Is that what it is?
Well, it's almost like a cycle, and it depends. It can sometimes last days, or it can sometimes, you know, last weeks. It depends on the person. However, I think what we need to realize is that these mood swings affect the person's functioning. And when anything is affecting your functioning, that I think would be the red light to get some help.
Right. Okay. And the kind,
I think what,
yes. Carry on.
I think what we experience in society is that we loosely use these terms. We use them to describe people's behavior. We use them to shame people. We use them to mock people. We loosely use the terms mental health disorder to degrade people, and that is where we are really, really, doing our society a disservice, because people out there are facing these mental health issues, and it is so real. It is as real as having a flu, or it is as real as having a terminal illness. And I think it's, as society, we need to become more sensitive about that.
You know, I know, as I said, several bipolar people, and I know that, you know, one day they're down in the dumps, they look as though they are death warmed up, and then suddenly they're singing, and I say to myself, are they really singing because of happiness, or what is it? And then the next moment they're down in the dumps again. I mean, there's these mood swings, and it can be terrible, really.
It can be terrible, and it's confusing for them, because they sometimes can't understand themselves.
Mm.
They can't understand themselves why they are feeling the way they are feeling.
Mm.
And it's terrible for those close to them, because it's confusing for people around them.
Mm.
It's difficult for people around them to also deal with those mood swings.
Right.
Because, for example, during a period where a person is manic or on a high, they can be extremely restless.
Yes.
They can be extremely impulsive.
Right.
They can sometimes become irritable or aggressive during this high.
Mm.
And then when they are in a low, they can barely get out of bed.
Mm. Yeah, that's
and
right.
So it's distressing for the person that is dealing with these mood swings, that is having the mood swings, and it's stressful for those that are around them, their friends and family as well.
But now, Nadine, you say that some of these people who are suffering from bipolar disorder, they should be able to realize that they are swinging from one mood to the other.
They would be able to realize that.
Right.
They would be able to become to say that, Why am I feeling happy now and feeling, so low? Why am I having suicidal thoughts?
Mm.
So to know the symptoms or the signs of being in that state of happiness, such as high energy levels,
right.
Very little sleep.
Mm.
Impulsive decisions, that sort of thing, to knowing the signs and symptoms of depression, which is lack of energy, feeling tired all the time, sometimes not wanting to go out or get out of bed, and having a lack of appetite, for example.
Mm.
So they would start to pick up on that. People around as well, knowing these signs and symptoms, would also start to pick up on this, on this huge shift between the two extremes.
Now, Nadine, yes, carry on now, carry on.
And then also try to make them aware as well. I think, we should support and we should talk about these things.
Tell me, would you find these mood swings in everybody, or would you say you only get them in as ordinary people? Would you get them in leaders as well?
These mood swings normally, especially with bipolar disorder, normally the onset is from the teen years into an early adulthood.
Yes.
And while we would ourselves have mood swings, or you would find that your teenager may have mood swings, you would start to notice, a subtle difference between these mood swings and how they are affecting the functioning of a person.
All right. Yeah. All right. And what is the treatment? Is the treatment taking a drug, or do you have to go to a psychologist?
I would suggest that a person, goes to a medical professional, a psychiatrist, and receives also some sort of therapy, but the treatment, I want to say that when we think of treatment, we need to think of very broadly also of the support system that comes with this, because there is no person that can go on treatment by themselves. They need a bit of support. They need a bit of support from their family. Mm. So together with the treatment from the psychiatrist, one would need to look at you know, really, for example, helping themselves by educating themselves about bipolar. So if you are suffering from this disorder, to get more knowledge, if you have a loved one suffering from this disorder, get more knowledge about it. Get educated.
Yeah.
Also, get moving. Keep moving. You know, do activities. Have exercise. Keep yourself healthy. Make healthy choices for yourself. Get enough sleep, because one of the signs and symptoms of for example mania is not being able to sleep.
Mm.
You find that a person in that manic mood would only maybe sleep 2 or 3 hours a day.
Yeah.
And they may not be able to sleep at night. They may be only having a nap now and then. And for us, as a support system, we have to realize that that's what would happen.
Mm.
And we have to encourage them, because stress is a very, very huge trigger,
mm.
you know, for a person that mm. suffers from bipolar. Stress is a trigger, and so we have to try and help them to reduce their stress as much as possible. And then together with the treatment that they will receive from a medical professional.
Now, Nadine, would it not also be true that there are many people who are bipolar, but they won't admit it? And if you notice somebody who seems to be bipolar, is it a bad thing to say, do you realize you're bipolar?
Yeah, I think that, you know, firstly, we have to not diagnose people, should I say.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm.
So I think that's where the first thing comes, the first problem comes in, mm. is that because we watch a lot of TV and we see a lot of things and we notice these things, I don't think it's a good thing when you approach the person,
mm.
is to do your own diagnosis of them.
All right.
But to rather make them understand that you are concerned about their behavior, because obviously it's their outward behaviors that is noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have noticed that, you know, you have a loved one that is really struggling, you know, that they are being completely unpredictable in terms of their moods, and that they move from these highs to these lows,
mm.
And you feel that they need help, I think, you know, to approach them and to say to them that you're concerned about them.
Yeah. Yes.
Because there is still a huge stigma that's attached to mental illness.
Mm.
And this is why a lot of people are not seeking help.
Mm.
A lot of people are living in shame of what they are going through because of the stigma that's still attached to it.
Mm.
If we look at just society, people have not evolved enough yet to look after their mental health.
Right.
You know, we look after our physical health, mm. but we still don't take enough care of our mental health. We sometimes wait until there is, until the very last moment, until, right. you know, we are losing grip.
Right.
Before we have to, or until there is a huge problem, that we go and seek mental health. And I think this is why we have people that know that there's something wrong, but they don't speak out mm. about it, and they don't get help for it.
So it really is a very sensitive thing, and one needs to deal with this condition sensitively with those who we notice seem to be suffering from this
disorder. Yes, it is a very sensitive topic, and the way in which we approach a person, and we should, you know, to approach a person with kindness, with patience, because that could be, you know, the difference between whether someone actually opens up to you or not. And I think, you know, when one is going through something like this, they definitely do need people to try and understand what is happening, because it is beyond their control. And sometimes we could be taking things very personally, you know, when it comes to maybe something that a person says during, for example, their mania, because you could sometimes find that a person during a manic phase would say very negative things to you, you know. They would just blurt out things and point out things and be very personal with you. And so we have to realize the difference between a person being intentionally nasty and harmful to us and whether it's beyond their control. And even though, you know, they are saying maybe things that we don't like, or they are behaving in a way that makes us uncomfortable, this is a person really in need of help and support.
How, Nadine, it's very nice when we talk about this thing like this, because it's such an important subject, and I'm sure many people listening to us talking now are saying, yeah, I know people like that. How should one practically approach this subject or this condition when we notice it in somebody else? On a practical level, how would you do that?
I would actually just, you know, have to sit down with the person, you know, sit down, make sure that you are, you know, doing this in private, for example, with the person, and that it does not happen during one of the
mood swings,
you know, one of the extremes.
Yeah.
Because there will be time where a person may feel settled, speak to that person, tell them your concerns for them. I would say, you know, it shouldn't be about a me, because sometimes, you know, it becomes about us.
Yes.
But it should be about them. And remember something, that you may have to walk this journey with them.
Of
you
course.
Know, because it is a long journey, you know, Father Emma, it's a long and it's a very, very difficult one. And many times people get left along the way because it's not easy.
Of course, you might sit down with somebody and they might just not be interested or willing to talk about it at all. And they might be in complete denial.
Definitely, they might be in complete denial. You know, sometimes what we can also do is have sort of a, you know, a card, a backup plan, you know, cards of professionals, you know, as I say, don't label the person, don't diagnose the person, but maybe point them in a direction.
Yes.
Perhaps leave a card with them and say, you know, if you're ready. Because it's difficult. It's a difficult thing to accept. Yeah. It's a difficult thing to accept. And we have to understand that. And as I said earlier, because society is loosely using these terms in a way to degrade and mock people,
right? Yeah.
You know, it makes us less likely to stand up and say, "Hi, I have, you know, I'm suffering from bipolar. I'm suffering from depression." And half the time we don't understand ourselves what's happening. So I think that to approach it with care, to keep trying, because if we understand that it is difficult to accept such a thing, if we can empathize just a little bit, we would understand that, you know, it's not always easy for a person to say yes. You know, let's go along. You will get resistance.
Right. Yes. Yes.
But I think if we are vigilant, and especially during the younger years, you know, if we are educated about these type of things, we can always get, you know, our teenagers. If we notice in the teen years, in the early adulthood, the onset of bipolar, we we can already try and get our loved ones to a healthcare professional.
Okay.
You know, while it is still in the early stages.
Nadine, it's been a wonderful discussion that we've been having now, and we have to move on. But thank you so much for sharing with us about this very, very important topic. And I hope that people listening have been encouraged.
Thank you, Father Emo.
Have a wonderful day, and all the best
for you too, Father.
For the new month that lies ahead.
Yes, and don't pull any pranks on anyone tomorrow, Father.
All right, Nadine, thank you very much. God bless, eh?
Bye-bye.
Have a lovely weekend. There we go. That was Nadine Pillay talking to us about bipolar disorders.